Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Time for our Monday morning appointment with the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital, Dr. Kevin Most. Doc, good morning. Let's start with the combo COVID and flu shot. How are the clinical trials going here?
Yeah, they're coming out very promising, Bob, which is, you know, it's great to know. We already knew that you could get two shots, you know, a shot for COVID and a shot for influenza at the same time. But the uptake of people taking the COVID vaccine has been down. So a lot of people are still getting flu vaccinated, but they aren't getting the COVID vaccine. And what's happening now is Pfizer, Moderna, BioNTech, Novavax, they're all looking at putting a combo shot together, very similar to what we have with influenza, where we have four different strains when you get your influenza shot. That's just not one strain. There's four strains in there. So now what they're doing, the study is showing, is not only those four strains, but the two most popular COVID strains as well. And the immune response that they're showing has been very robust. They've been silent on the side effects, which is interesting. You'd think that they would come out saying, hey, we're getting really good response from the immunity side, and the side effect profile is comparable to what we see with influenza. They haven't said that yet, so we're all waiting for that part of the data. Mm-hmm. And they'll also be going into the final phase, the largest clinical trial, and hopefully getting it done this season. Moderna's predicting that it will have their shot ready for next fall.
Good news, for sure. There's an interesting story about new lung cancer screening guidelines. Tell us about this.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting. When we started doing lung screening, for individuals who smoked, we said, okay, if you've quit smoking within the last 15 years, we are going to test you on a regular basis with a CT scan, because we know if we can identify lung cancer early, not only is it treatable, but it's actually curable. But we stopped at 15 years. So the premise was, if you got beyond 15 years, hey, your risk of cancer is going to drop so much that the screening really wouldn't be worth it. But what we're finding out now is that that premise was totally wrong, that the further out you get from your quit date, you still have an increased risk of lung cancer. So there, yeah, increase those. So it's not just if you quit within the last 15 years. You will continue to get screened because we know that lung cancer can still pop up. So it looks like it's more based on the cumulative effect of having 20 pack years or more, not the timing from when you quit. Not a lot of people take advantage of it, and I would hope that listeners out there that used to smoke and smoked, you know, somewhat heavily and have quit, good for you. Your lungs, you appreciate it. But also take the opportunity to make sure that if you are going to end up with cancer, we're going to identify it early with a simple screening CT scan, which takes seconds to do.
I hope people take that advice. I am really interested in this. My dad passed away 20 years ago. He was a very healthy guy, but lung cancer got him. And he had been a very, very heavy smoker and probably quit, maybe when he was about 50 or so. And under these guidelines, he would have been screened, and they may have caught this in time. And like I say, he was healthy otherwise, and he should have lived to have been about 100.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. But that story is what we need to get out there, because by the time you have symptoms with lung cancer, it's often advanced stage, and there's not a lot we can do except, you know, radiation, chemo, but not with really good success. You know, it's still the number one cancer killer in both men and women. So certainly listening to your story with your father, knowing that individuals are out there in the exact same boat, get the screening done. If we can find it in a very early stage, we can treat it. We can remove it and actually eliminate the cancer.
Yeah. I think the key here is a lot of people think, well, I quit smoking decades ago, I'm going to be okay. But this new research is saying just the opposite, isn't it?
It is. It's exactly what it's saying. It's exactly saying, hey, you think you dodged it for 15 years, now you're in the clear? No, we're finding that, no, that risk still continues, and that's why we're going to continue to screen even beyond that. So hopefully, like you said, hopefully people listen, because only a small fraction of those people who are actually eligible for this screening test get it. Mm. Where you look at tests like mammography and colonoscopy, where we're well above 50-60% of individuals getting it. For lung cancer screening, we're probably down into the teens means as far as those who are available or appropriate to get screened and actually get it done.
Hope people take your advice. We'll get a break in here now, and then, among other things, we'll talk about this time change. Talking with Northwestern Medicine's Dr. Kevin Most, red dye number 3 was banned last week in California, and I don't understand what the deal is with this, Dr. Most. I mean, red dye is restricted in many other countries, but not here. It's not healthy, is it?
You know, you kind of hit it on the head, and it's very interesting that in 1990, the FDA banned red dye from cosmetics. Mm. That was based on a study that showed that it caused cancer in rats. What further follow-up on that showed that it was kind of specific to rats as far as the cancer, but we do know, after many, many studies, that the impact of this has on children, and mainly behavioral issues with hyperactivity and kind of behavioral stuff that kids have after consuming red dye. And the unfortunate thing is, it's in a lot of products. I mean, 3,200 products, and just about everybody is going to consume some red dye number 3 during the day today.
Yeah, yogurt, snacks, candy, frozen desserts, children's medications. And do you think the day will come where it will be banned in the United States?
I think so. You know, if you look right now, the UK, Canada, Australia have already banned it. And really, it's the food manufacturers who are making the case for it. But if you think about it, the only thing it adds is color. And when it adds color, it's just trying to attract us to buy the product that they want us to use. It has no nutritional value. And like we said, we know that it has the issue with children with behavioral issues. And really can't tell, because there's never been a study to say, is there a behavioral issue with adults as well? So certainly, I think it's something that we should look at across the United States. Very interesting, you know, that Governor Newsom has banned menthol cigarettes, banned red dye, all of these things that companies try to use us to get to use products that may not be the best for our health. So kudos to him, and it'll be interesting to see how the food lobbyists fight and push back here. And it's really going to be interesting to see that, how are those individual companies that still want to do business in California going to change their product so it's just a California-based product? Or will California be the tipping point to just say, you know what, we're pulling it out of all of our products now, even though there's not a ban here in the United States?
Well, over the years, California has been a leader when it comes to healthy foods and a healthy environment. Anything new on those eye drops that the FDA warned about a while back?
Yeah, so this has been out just over the last couple of weeks, and hopefully individuals have seen it, but 27 different eye drops have been identified as potentially contaminated by a bacteria that is not good for your eye. So if you're someone who takes an over-the-counter eye drop for dry eyes and you use it on a regular basis, please go online, Google eye drops banned or Google eye drops contaminated. It'll show you the list. If your product is on there, discard that product right now and talk to your physician about potentially going on single-use ones until we figure out that the contamination is clear. But these are sold in many, many different sites, in many different stores, and it's a very common use, especially for people who age and have dry eyes, and they have the lubricant drops that they use on a regular basis. So if you notice any changes in your eye, any redness, any drainage, please get into an eye doctor right away so that we can treat that infection.
Now, 27 specific eye drops on that list. Finally, let's talk about this time change. People are tired of hearing me talking about how it takes me a while to reset. But it does affect your brain chemical, doesn't it? Your brain chemicals.
Oh, absolutely. You know, this is a shock to our system. You know, it's not like we, you know, normally as the season changes, you know, you lose a couple minutes of daylight every day. But now what happened is we lost, you know, 60 right in one shock. So it certainly does. As we go through our day, the body has a circadian rhythm that it gets used to as far as, this is when I'm going to fall asleep. You know, this, as it gets dark, it's going to start to trigger those things. Well, now that shock happens. So a couple things happen there. One is, it certainly throws off your sleeping pattern. So someone like you, who is getting up early in the morning, you know, that certainly is one thing that's really a big shock. The other thing we all have to understand is that we're going to be spending less time outside. It's dark at night now. It's cold. We need vitamin D for our immune system as well as our bone health. that we decrease the chances of us making natural vitamin D, which we get from sunlight. So really, I tell people, hey, try not to change your sleeping patterns. Still go to sleep at the normal time. But this is the time of the year now to make sure you take a vitamin D supplement to offset the loss of the vitamin D that you normally would have gotten by being outside in the sunlight.
The brain starts making more melatonin earlier now these days, doesn't it?
Exactly. That's exactly what happens. Melatonin, that hormone that tells us, hey, it's time to go to sleep. It's time to get a little sleepier, a little drowsier. It makes it earlier based on what it's seeing, you know, as far as the light outside. And this is the time also with this shock. Anybody who has had problems with seasonal affective disorder in the past, this is the time we start looking for that. So this first week, you're going to see people who may be a little sluggish, maybe complaining of headaches. We see headaches and cluster headaches jump up this week. And then also have to be aware of individuals who do have seasonal affective disorder. Time to talk to your doctor about, should I be doing light therapy? When should I start that? Because we're losing minutes, obviously, now, continue to lose minutes of daylight, but certainly the shock of losing 60 at one time has a bigger impact.
Get ready for longer 4 o'clock lines at Starbucks today. Thank you, Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. We'll talk to you next Monday.
You got it, Bob. Take care.